Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Tzadik Tes. We're holding the second line from the top of the Umud. Tzadik Tes Umud Aleph. And the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Ulbavad Shlo Yoytzi Chut. What is this referring back to? So go back, please, to the Mishnah on Tzadik Ches Umud Beis. A few lines from the bottom of the Umud. We'll take a quick look through the Mishnah, the first three lines. Oy made Odom Rishusay Yochid, Umetaltal Rishusay Rabin. A person is standing in Rishus HaYochid. Rashi says he's either standing in his home or he's standing on the roof. For that matter, he's standing in his backyard, his chotzer. He's standing in Rishus HaYochid. Umetaltu b'Rishus HaRabim. How is he metaltu b'Rishus HaRabim? For instance, if he's standing on the roof or if he's in his backyard, he has his hand over the fence onto the Rishus HaRabim, and there's an object in the Rishus HaRabim which he's carrying with his hand in the Rishus HaRabim. So although he, physically, 95% of this person's body is in the Rishus HaYochid, 5% his hand happens to be in the Rishus HaRabim, and he's being metaltal. Says our Mishnah, one can do that, but be careful! Ubilvaj lo yoytzi chutz mi arba amos. In other words, it's as if this person is walking in the Rishus HaRabim and carrying in the Rishus HaRabim, and as long as you don't go past four amos, you're not chayef. But what happens if, in fact, the person continued carrying more than four amos? That's the blank. Mishnah doesn't say. But the Gemara tells us, L'choira, on top of Tzadik Tesamid Aleph, third line, Hohoitzi, it's mashma, that if the person, unfortunately, was not careful and continued carrying in the Rishus HaRabim, one hand in the Rishus HaRabim, carries more than four amos, L'choira is chayev achatzos, for carrying in Rishus HaRabim, b'shogeg. Says Yimar Le'Messai, Le'le Rava, let's bring a Raya to Rava. What did Rava say? The Yomar Rava, we had this already yesterday in the Gemara. The Yomar Rava, Hamaver Chayfetz Metchilas Arba, Lesoif Arba, a person who carries in the Rosh Hashanah a Chayfetz, an object, from beginning of four Amos till the end of four Amos. In other words, carries a full four Amos. However, he didn't go and carry it like we would normally carry. In other words, in his hand or in his pocket. But rather, Aviroi Derech Olav. Aviroi Derech Olav means that he took the object and he carried it over himself. In other words, over 10 tefachim from the ground. So now, I might have thought, although this person Taki carried four Amos in Rishus HaRabim, but the whole carrying took place above 10 tefachim, which is typically a Mokan Ptur, and so therefore he should be Potter. Says Rava, no. I don't look at the mode of transportation, how it got from A to B. But I do look at the fact that there was an Akira in the Rishus HaRabim. It traveled four Amos. It landed up in the Rishus HaRabim with a Hanacha, and therefore Yechayv. So says the Gemara, that's the same type of situation over here. Because over here too, the person, while he was carrying in the Rishus HaRabim, but he himself was not in the Rishus HaRabim. He was standing outside. But nevertheless, I don't care how he stood, where he stood, when, where, vuz, ven, vi. Bottom line, it went a full four Amos Rishus HaRabim from one end to the other. Akira mitanocha. He's chayef. So the chayef avishtarka raya to Rava. Zokti mara nishka raya. Your entire premise of your raya is based on a diuk. Now that doesn't say beferish in the Mishnah. Hahoitzi chayev chatas. We are just making a diak. But since the Mishnah says, be careful, don't carry in four amis, don't carry a full four amis Rishus HaRabim. So therefore, we were medayik, we made an inference that probably if the person is over, he violates this, and he goes beyond four amis, he'll be a chayev chatas. Freitimora, miktoni im hoitzi chayev chatas, dilmim hoitzi pata aval osir. Maybe the isser is drabanan. Mina toira, he would take be potur. Why? Because he didn't carry it normally within the Rishus HaRabim, his whole body. It was only his hand doing the walking in Rishus HaRabim. And therefore, maybe he would take be potur. Midrabanan, it's aser. And that's what the Mishnah says. Be careful. Don't be over at the Rabbanan. So bottom line is, we don't have a conclusive raya to Rav. And in fact, there's another Ikadiyami, another version, which starts off the other way around. Ikri Amri, be careful not to carry a full arba amis. Hohoitzi, what happens if he did carry four amis? Potter aval aser. He'd be potter, but he's not allowed to do it. It's aser midrabban. Our Mishnah, we were medayik, he's potter avol osur. Says the Gemara once again, miktani hoitzi potter avol osur. It didn't say that beferish, that's just your inference. No. Dilma make the inference im hoitzi chayiv chatas. And therefore, instead of asking a kash on Rava, we can bring a raya to Rava. So bottom line is, we don't have a conclusive raya either way. Rav, of course, says his halacha, but from our Mishnah, we don't have absolute clarity as to whether the Mishnah agrees with Rav or not. Now, the next case of the Mishnah is, let's go back to the Mishnah for a moment, third line of the Mishnah, lo yamoid odem rishus hayochid v'yashtin rishus haram. Person is standing in the rishus hayochid. Unfortunately, he has to go and urinate on Shabbos out in the open. He's far away from any bathroom and for any other outhouse. So he has to go and does his thing. So he should be sure to go and be mashed within his own rishus. For instance, if he's standing in the rishus hayochid, go and urinate in the rishus hayochid. But this person didn't. He urinated into the rishus hayochid. So now he has transferred the urine from rishus hayochid to rishus hayochid. Same thing is, don't stand rishus hayochid, v'yash rishus hayochid. And the same thing, v'chein le'yorek, if you have to go and spit, spit out in your own rishus. Don't spit out into the other rishus, because you're being mavir from one rishus to the other rishus. So back to the Gemara. Lo yamid odam b'rishus yachid omer of Yosef. What happens if you violated the precepts, the halacha of our Mishnah? And in fact, you were mashtin, or you were rock from one rishus to the other rishus. Omer of Yosef, hishtim v'rok, chayv chatas. This is an Issur D'oraisa. This is not just Rabbanan. Issur D'oraisa to go and transfer the shesen meaning the urine, or the spittle, from one rishus to the other. Frey Timara, v'be'inan akir v'anochem, y'al gabi mokem dalid v'leka. Back in Masechta Shabbos, when we were talking about Hilchos Hoitzah, we said that for every Hoitzah you have to have an akira mitzah hanochem. And the akir v'anochem have to be from a mokem choshev. What's considered to be a mokum choshev? A mokum dalid al dalid, 4x4 tvachim. Says the Gemara, in our case, the akira lechayra was from the person's bladder. The case of the roik, the spittle, the saliva, came from the person's mouth. Neither of these have the shear of 4x4. So lechayra, I don't have a case of an akira from a mokum choshev, and I should be potter on the chatos. Everything Gemara, machshav de mishavalei mokoim. What the Gemara is telling us is, there is what we call an objective standard, and there's also a subjective standard. Objective standard means that if you have a mokum of 4x4, under all circumstances, this is considered to be a mokoim choshev. There are, however, situations where even though you didn't have 4x4, but you, the, shall I say, the violator, the person who is chas v'sholem being over in Hilchos Shabbos, he can mishavalei, he can transform this mokim into a mokim choshev through his intent. And the Gemara says over here, for instance, leitei ma'achi, I'll bring you a raya, hodi omer Rava, again a raya from Rava, zorach v'noch b'fi hakelev, oy b'fi hakivshan, a person went and threw a ball, for instance, on Shabbos, to his dog, wanting the dog to go and get it into his mouth, and guess what? And it went on a fly into the dog's mouth. Or if he occasionally threw it into a furnace. So what happens in this case? Even though the pi hakelev is less than 4x4, and pi hakivshan may be the same thing, nevertheless, chayiv chatas. Why is it chayiv chatas? Well, b'in anocha al gavim mokim dalid ve'leka, just like it has to be in akira, from a mokum dalet, a mokum choshev. The hanacha also has to be on a mokum choshev. And you don't have, you only have the pia kelev, so garnished. Pia kelev is twice 3-4 inches. You have to talk about 4x4, you're talking about 16 inches. Ela vos muzaim pshat, according to Rava, machshav to mishavalei mokum. That the fact that he threw the ball into the kelev's mouth, he's saying, that's where I want it to land. Hokanami, the same thing over here is machshava. The fact that he went and urinated and didn't wait until he went somewhere else. So that was his machshava. He wanted to go and bleed his bladder. He wanted to get the urine out. So his machshava, mishavalei mokum, it makes it into a mokum of dalet al dalet, not a dollar al dollar in terms of objective standard, but in terms of a subjective standard. This person's his intent, he's meshavali mokum, he creates a mokum choshev by his intent. So that's why he's chayev achatas. So boy Rava Fektaz Ashaila. Hu Brishus Yachad Upi Amma Brishus Rabin. Mahu. So this is an interesting question. A person is standing in Rishus Yachad, we already said in the Mishnah, don't go and urinate into the Rishus Rabin, because then the flow of the urine will leave one Rishus and go into the other Rishus, and according to Rav Yosef, Chas HaSholom Yechayv a Karm Chattas. It's an Issa D'Araisa. So now Rava asks the following question. He talk is standing Rishus Yachad. However, his pia oma, meaning his aver, is in the hole in the fence, so to speak, and it is standing in the Rishus Rabin. So now, when he is urinating, no question that the urine lands up in the Rishus Rabin. The question is, where do we deem the urine to have left? Did it leave the bladder, which was in the Rishus Hayachid, or did it leave the pia oma, the opening of the aver, which is in the Rishus Rabin? And that's a major difference. So, do we look at the bladder as being the source? If that's the source, that's the case of our Mishnah, that he's urinating from the Rishus Yachid into Rishus Rabin, he'll be chayv karban chatas. Or do we say, no, let's see where the urine emanates from, and it emanates from his aver, and the aver was in the Rishus Rabin, and therefore it's Rishus Rabin. Just make sure not to let the stream go more than 4 amos, and you're okay. So Gemara Teiku Tishbitaritz, the Gemara doesn't answer the Shaila, so obviously try to urinate in the bathroom so you don't have these problems.
But what's happening? It's one body. Yeah. It's one body comes out from the Rishus Rabin, no. The Yama. What's the
Maskona? It's not only in the Habimina, it's a Maskona. The Gemara is not Poisha the Shaila. The Gemara is saying, where do you look at the urine's akira from? Are you being oikirit from the mokum where it was in the bladder? That's clearly Rishus Yachid. Or do you say you look at the last second before it leaves the body, and therefore that's the akira, and that akira is in Rishus Rabin, because the piyam is in Rishus Rabin. I'm picking afkimina. Rishus Yachid, Rishus Rabin, you'd be chayv. Rishus Rabin, Rishus Rabin, you'd be potter. The Gemara take it, the Gemara is not pushed.
Is there any allowance for a shat at chak?
The allowance is to make sure next time that you urinate in your own rishus, you don't have to go and stand in Rishus Yach and urinate in Rishus Rabin, or vice versa. Where do you happen to be? You're going over there. Take her. A person who has to go and spit out, again, if you have to spit out in your rishus, but don't spit out in the other guy's rishus. In other words, from Rishus Rabin to Rishus Yach, Rishus Yach to Rishus Rabin. Let's go back to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda at the end of the Mishnah said something for a further chidush, that af mishen nitlash roike befiv. What happens if some saliva or spittle got nitlash, it got uprooted from his palate, from his throat, and it comes into his mouth? Lo yehalach arba amos ad shiyarik. Make sure to go and spit it out immediately. Don't leave it in your mouth and figure, I'm going to be in shul in a moment and I'll go and spit it out over there. No. If you're going to go and carry it in your mouth for amos, you're going to be over on carrying. So don't get carried away. Is this halach applying even if you didn't go and kind of twirl it in your mouth? Meaning that usually before a person goes and spits out on the ground or into a spittoon or wherever he spits into, usually after the saliva kind of gets uprooted from wherever it was, then he kind of sloshes it, swirls it in his mouth, it's now over mamish, and then he spits it out. So you're telling me that Rabbi Yehuda, since the Lashon and the Mishnah was af misha nitlash, as soon as it gets uprooted from wherever it came, that's already enough. If you're going to carry it, you're going to be over. I, Rabbi Yehuda, in another connection said, no, it's not immediately after nitlash, you got to wait until it kind of collects and twists and twirls in the mouth for a moment. But not. Person is eating devela. Devela means a dried cake of figs. And here we're talking about figs which were truma. And he has that in his mouth. He's eating biyadayim misu'avos. Biyadayim misu'avos means that his hands are tamei, but not that they're tamei because they touched a sheretz or a nevela, because then it wouldn't be just his hands are tamei, the entire body would be tamei. So therefore we're talking about yadayim shniyos. Shniyos means, as you remember at the beginning of Masechtas Shabbos. We had the Yud Ches Dovar, a whole bunch of Tumas Drabbanan, where the Rabbanan said that automatically all hands are deemed to be Tumay Drabbanan, but you don't have to go to the mikveh for that. All you have to do is wash your hands. And that's the major makar, that we wash our hands before we eat bread, as well as before we daven, before we do other things. We wash our hands because we have a certain residual Tumay Drabbanan. Anyway, this person is eating the truma in his mouth. He has Yidayim Mesu'avos, and v'ichnas yado l'toch piv lito tzarat. This person is a kohen, and he knows, I better be careful not to go and touch the dvel in my mouth. So under normal circumstances, he'd have his hands tied behind his back. But the problem is, he had a tzarat, he had a little pebble between his teeth. Well, today we wouldn't talk about pebble. He has some food stuck between his teeth, or something else which is bothering him terribly. He has a toothpick in hand, he's trying to get it out. Anyway, the problem is that he now touches that dvela in his mouth. Now, if he touches the dvela, if his hands are tummy, he touches the dvela, that's truma, l'chari becomes tummy. What's the shayla? So the shayla is whether that dvela was mukhshir lekabel tuma. This dvela had never touched any one of the seven mashkois, and now the question is, it's in his mouth, is it now considered to be mukhshir? So Meir says, metame, yeah, because the saliva in his mouth, presumably that has a status like water, it's one of the seven mashkois, it's machshir. Rabbi Yosef Atar, Rabbi Yosef said, no. Why? Because that saliva is part and parcel of his body juices, if you will, and therefore it's not considered to be a separate mashke, and it's not machshir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, hippach ba time, la hippach ba tohar. Meaning that it's not enough that you have saliva in the mouth. It's got to be saliva that kind of twirled around in the mouth a couple of times, and now it's considered no longer to be part of his guf. Now it's considered to be a separate saliva entity on its own. It's like a separate mashka, like water. It touched the truma. It touched the hand. Uh-oh. Then the person's, this truma in his mouth becomes tummy. So what do I see from this? Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Rameya and Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yehuda says, you know, when it has a status of a separate liquid on its own, only if it's not only nitlash, but it's got to be hippachba that he also twirled it in his mouth a little bit, and now he's ready, if you will, to go and spit it out. Oh, if that spittle, if that saliva went and touched the dvela, it becomes mukhshir lekabel tuma, and if he touches with his hands, it becomes tamei. Why? The same Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah said it's just enough to be nitlash roikai, it's sufficient. Why over here, by Hilchis hechshir tuma, does Rabbi Yehuda say it's got to be hippach ba as well? Astira Rabbi Yehuda on Rabbi Yehuda. Everything wa'am Rabbi Yochanan mukhlefes hashita. Now, usually the term mechlefes hashita, we find in Shas, usually means we're going to switch around the man, the amrim. Like in this case, Rameir to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda to Rameir. But this is a rare case where that is not the interpretation. Rather, mechlefes hashita means that Rabbi Yehuda himself changed his mind over time. That originally in our Mishnah he said, nitlash is sufficient to deem it saliva that you're carrying in your mouth, and you'll be over an Isser if you carry in your mouth on Shabbos. But in later months, years, decades, whatever, Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind, and he said, no, just having it come out of your, it just being nitlash is not sufficient. It's only considered to be a separate entity if it's also hippach, but if it went around a couple of times. Which, of course, in a sense, makes sense, if you will, because almost everybody has a little, at least a drop of saliva in their mouths at all times, but it's usually nothing that bothers us or affects us. It's just part of the body process. It's only if it accumulates, then you want to go and spit it out because you don't want it sitting in your mouth. So therefore, that's what Rebuta is saying. Initially, Rebuta said, as long as you have a drop of saliva with nitlash right before, make sure you constantly dry out your mouth every minute to make sure that you're not over on Haitzah. Says this Rebuta, Mechlefes Hashita, I changed my mind, Neinachanami, it's got to be already not only nitlash, but also it's got to be hipechpa, that it's swirled around in the mouth, and now it's a psashtikal chaticha ruil iskabed, only then are you going to be chayiv on carrying on Shabbos. Robert, you have a question?
One of the liquids that the Mishnah says that is makshir l'tuma is not saliva. It's honey, milk, water,
You're 100% right. There are seven simanim, seven mashkois. Saliva doesn't easily fall into any of the seven, so presumably it's a subset of water. And therefore, just like water is machshir, the saliva would also be machshir. It's certainly not a tolda of yayin or of shemen or of dvash or any of those.
Yeah.
So presumably, this would fit into the category of water. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, Brother Shai.
If you did collect the saliva in your mouth,
right,
and you walked out almost, that would be a shaila then.
According to Rabbi Yehuda, it wouldn't be a shaila, it'd be over.
Even though you didn't spit it out. It's
because you didn't spit it out. You should rather spit it out than not have it in your mouth. If you're in Rosh Hashanah, yeah, of course, try to avoid doing it in front of 25 people.
But also, you have to be worried about Zareya.
Here on the cement, I don't think you have much of a problem.
Old days.
Yeah.
You're walking on your Muncie.
Or if you want, you can also. In Muncie, you don't usually work on the dirt roads. You usually work on cement. You could also swallow it if you're in that mood. But anyway, getting on to the Moravite. Reish Lakish Amaloilam Loi Tachlif. You don't have to go and switch around. Not switch. You don't have to say that Rabbi Yehuda retracted and switched his mind and changed his daya, but rather it depends on the nature of the saliva that we're talking about. Our Mishnah is not talking about regular saliva, it's talking about phlegm that comes up if a person has a cold or something like that, or in the throat, and you go and you cough it up. Oh! You got phlegm in your mouth. Everybody knows the difference between phlegm and saliva. So our Mishnah says, once it's nitlash, you don't have to go and twirl it around in your mouth. It's already ready to be ejected. And so therefore, to expectorate. Beautiful. So if you're expecting to expectorate instead of expect, because if you're going to hold it in your mouth and expecting before expectorating, guess what? You're going to be over by carrying in Rosh Hashanah. So just get rid of it. Dr. Morris, that's our Mishnah. In that case over there, in the case of the Oichel Tveila, that wasn't talking about a phlegm, it was talking about regular saliva. So regular saliva, if it's a drop, is gunish, it's got to be accumulated in the mouth. Okay, Zokti Yimaroch, Mayiskina Mekichot, Vatanya, Freit Yimaroch, Vatanya, I'll bring a kasha. How did you say the Reish Lakish? Shteten Breis, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Kichoy v'nitlash. That if you have phlegm, and it's nitlash, and it gets uprooted, that's already enough. Chori, that's not a kasha, but the Gemara assumes for some reason, my love, roik v'nitlash. Although the term that Rabbi Yehuda used was kichoy, he wasn't being particular in his phraseology. Kichoy, nioy, roik, it's all basically synonymous terms. He meant even roik v'nitlash. So you see, Rabbi Yehuda continues to hold the din of roik v'nitlash, not like you're saying kichoy, that roik v'nitlash, that you're ready over when it's tolish. So to my loy, kichoy v'nitlash. He meant tak, kichoy v'nitlash. We're about five lines before the Mishnah on Tzadik Tes Amud Aleph. 99a, about five lines before the Mishnah. Pray tomorrow, but I have a better kasha. Votani, I have a befeirish price. Of Yehuda Omer, kichoy shenitlash. V'chein roikoy shenitlash. Here it's crystal clear. Kichoy and roik, once it's tolush, immediately you happen to be chayv. Now, according to the first teretz that Gemara gave before, that Rabbi Yochanan said, mochlefes hashiti, changed his mind. Okay, so this is Rabbi Yehuda in the good old days, like our Mishnah, that as soon as it's nitlash, boom, you're ready chayv for carrying it around in your mouth. However, according to the second teretz, which is the teretz of Reish Lakish, no, he didn't change his mind. And our Mishnah is talking about a case of kichoy. B'nei roik, you have to wait until it accumulates and you twirl it and you swirl it all the rest of your mouth. If that's the case, du shteit v'chein roikish and nitlash, you're ready chayit. L'yihalik dalanam, said Shiyarik. This is a knockout kasha on Reish Lakish's pshat, and we have to go to Rabbi Yochanan's pshat, that mochlefes hashita, Rabbi Yehuda, over time, changed his mind. Back to the Gemara, Reish Lakish, kiech b'fnei rabbi. What happens if a person spit out in front of his Rebbe? Says Gemara, chayim misa. Doing something like that is so egregious, it's so disrespectful. Yechayim misa. Shinem, it says in the Pasik, kol mesanai ohavu mavis. Pashup shat mesanai is referring to the Torah. And the Torah is saying, all those that hate me, chas v'shalom, or avu mavas, those are people that love, chas v'shalom, death. So Dimara, don't talk about that the Torah is declaring, Masani, those that hate me, al tikr Masani, el lamasniyai. Masniyai means those people that cause the Torah to be hated. How do they cause Torah to be hated? Because if they act inappropriately, people point to them and say, you see, that religious Jew, that so-called Torah scholar, and guess, look at the way he acts. He acts in such a terrible, terrible fashion. He makes a terrible Chil Hashem. And today, for the Chil Hashem is a Talmud in front of his rabbi. He should be more careful. What is he doing? He's expectorating right in front of his rabbi. Frey Timara, V'homein is honest. If you're talking about the kiach, that is the phlegm in a person's throat that comes up, you want to get rid of it. He didn't go and ask, no, phlegm, please kind of come up because I want to go and spit out in front of my rabbi. It happened to Boinus against his will. Says Yimara, the fact that it came up into his mouth against his will, that's of course. Abakiach v'rok omrinim, even though Loshen of Rish Lakish was kiach b'fnei rabbi, he meant kiach v'rok b'fnei rabbi, meaning that he developed a phlegm and then he spit it out in front of his rabbi. So what should he have done? Says Rashi, what he should have done is he should turn to the side, or he should spit it into a tissue or a handkerchief, but not go and spit it out in the ground in front of his rabbi. That person does, chas v'sholem, he's considered to be a masniyai. He causes people to detest and to hate the Torah, and chas v'sholem, the Gemara said, chayim is. Okay, zok the Mishnah. Instead of the person, Baruch Hashem, having
he's
to urinate.
He's chayim isa for causing people to hate the Torah.
Exactly right. Zok the Mishnah. Now we're leaving people that are urinating and people that are expectorating, and we are now talking about people that want to take a drink. Says the Mishnah, Le'yamid odom rishus yachar v'yishtem rishus rabim v'yishtem rabim v'yishtem rishus yachid. You're standing in the rishus yachar and you want a drink from the rishus rabim. In other words, there's a fountain, for instance, rishus rabim. The best thing would be, of course, to walk into the rishus rabim and drink from there instead of drinking from the rishus yachar, from a fountain, rishus rabim. Now, how are you drinking? The Mishnah doesn't say the fadish, but as we'll see in the Gemara, he's using a kli. He's using a cup. And he's using the cup to get the water from the fountain. And now he's drinking. Okay, so what's the issue? The issue is that if he takes this cup and he just transfers it 1 inch, 4 inches, 10 inches from the Rishus Ram to Rishus Yochad, Rishus Yochad, Rishus Ram, he's being mavir merishus lerishus. There's no din of Dalar Amis over here. We're talking about he's standing in one Rishus, taking the cup and getting the water in the other Rishus. So what should you do? Okay, we have even an easier eitzah, says the Mishnah. If you want to, you happen to be in Rishus Yochad. Obviously, the best thing would be is if you would open the gate, go into Rishus Rabim, and drink directly in the Rishus Rabim. Take the cup, drink from Rishus Rabim, leave the cup there. Don't carry it for Amis. Don't go from Rishus to Rishus. Just drink there right in front of the water fountain. However, the problem is, for instance, he couldn't get into Rishus Rabim because the gate was locked. But he's thirsty. So what I'm concerned is he's going to go and take the cup, which is presumably lying there next to the fountain. He's going to take it and he's going to remove it from the Rishus Rabim, take it over the fence or through the fence into Rishus Yochid, he's going to drink over there. So what do you got to do? Okay, you got to go over the wall or through the wall or whatever and take your head and roiv of your body. So therefore, you don't have to worry that you're going to go and retrieve the cup and take it into your rishus, because basically 80%, 75%, 60% of the body is in the rishus where the water is. So although his feet are on the ground, but nevertheless, since he's bending over roish v'rubay, he's deemed to be in the same rishus. So I don't have to worry that he's going to go and take the cup and bring it into his rishus where his feet are, because he's going to take the cup wherever his mouth is, and his mouth is in the rishus where he is drinking. Mechaim begas, and the same thing also applies to a press. What does press have to do with anything? A press normally means a wine press. Well, how does that figure into our Mishnah? We'll see Miyachim and the Amid Beis, two different pshatim in Mechaim begas. That's absolutely true. So Reb Simcha brings a beautiful parallel that the Indian of Rosh HaVerubai also applies in Hilchei Sukkah, that if a person has a very, very, very small sukkah. As long as it's big enough to hold Rosh Verubai, that is sufficient. Yes, correct. Zokimar, Reish Rabbanah v'Sefer HaMeir, L'choira, our Reish of our Mishnah is going to Rabbanah. The Sefer is going to HaMeir. What does the Gemara mean, Reish Rabbanah v'Sefer HaMeir? So if you remember yesterday, we took a peek at the Mishnah on Daf Kuf, Aleph Omed Aleph, and we could take another peek yet once again, where the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Aleph Omed Aleph brings a similar machlokes. Until now, we were talking about carrying, you're standing in Rosh Hashanah Yochid and carrying an item in Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, or being mashtin, or being the rock here drinking. In other words, we got two Rishusim, he's standing in one, doing something in the other. So look at that Mishnah on Kuf Aleph. Lo yamid odem Rosh Hashanah Yochid, a person shouldn't stand Rosh Hashanah Yochid. The yiftach Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, and he's holding the mafteach, meaning holding the key in Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. Here's the same concern again, because if he's not careful, he's going to bring the key from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, taking Rosh Hashanah Yochid, or vice versa, Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, and therefore, be careful, says Remeir. So Remeir says, loy, a loy mit an aleph, to Remeir. Amruloy, and the Chacham said, no, we disagree. So we see Remeir is the machmer, loy yamoid, and the Chachamim are making, and they say, yeah, it's okay. Okay, so now, let's look at our Mishnayos. The previous Mishnah, which was back on Daf Tzadik Ches, said, Oymed Odom Rosh Hashanah Yochid, right? That was the Mishnah we learned yesterday, that we've been explaining this morning. Oymed Odom Rosh Hashanah Yochid, that it's mutter. That's the Rabban. The Rabban say that it's mutter. Our Mishnah says, Lo Yamed Odom Rosh Hashanah Yochid, that seems to go like Remeir. So, Frey Timora, Reish Rabbanim B'Sefer Remeir. Now, even though these are two separate Mishnayos, but if you connected the two Mishnayos together, the earlier part of the Mishnah, Oymed Adam, yes, you can, Stam Mishnah, Rabbanon. Here, Lo Yamoid, Stam Mishnah, is Remeir. Freit Yimara, Reish Rabbanon, Sefer Remeir. Amr of Yosef, no, Bechafeitzim, Shetzrichim, Lo Yvedivri HaKoil. In our Mishnah, even the Rabbanon would agree, Lo Yamoid, Adam, Shetzrichim, Yochad, V'yishta. Why? Because these are Chafeitzim, Shetzrichim, Lo. These are vessels that he requires. Now, Rashi is not absolutely clear what he means with chafetzim hatzrichaloi, but the way the Meforshim understand the Rashi is because he needs the cup to be able to drink. Without a cup, he cannot drink. So since it is a chafetz that he absolutely requires, I have to be noivis that he's going to go and take the chafetz over from the shusaram to shusiyach, shusiyach, shusaram, unless he's roishe verubai over into the other shus. So in the case of the Mishnah back in Tzadik Ches, when he was carrying an object in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, he didn't need that object. If he did pick it up, didn't pick it up, he's going to leave it there in the other Rosh Hashanah. Here he needs the chafetz to be able to drink. If you look at the Rashi, the first wide line, b'chafetz matzrichen loy, afil rabbanon moidu, the rabbanon would also be moidu, the gozer behu in our case, to be tershu tzorech lehem, since he needs them, the chafetz, the cups, yachnis matzloy, hilkach mashkin alolu tzrichen loy, the gezirin, he needs the water, he needs the cups, yeah, so therefore I'm gozer even according to the rabbanon.
Alam shad, mashkin, he needs the water, he wants the water. The chafetz is a separate Indian, and Melo now case with this water involved, he wants the water
100%, and that's why he wants the cup to be able to drink the water, and that's why I'm concerned that even according to Rabbanan, he might be Moitzi Mishus Rishus. However, the Rambam disagrees, and the Rambam says that the Chifetz Hatzorech Loi, the Gemara is making an Ukimta, that we're talking about a glass or a cup made out of gold or out of silver, which is valuable. And he says that the Mishnah is talking about chafetz matzrichalai, he needs it. If it's a plastic cup, if it's an earthenware cup, shy, I don't need it. I'm not going to go and retrieve it and take it with me. But if it's a nice cup, a golden, a silver, then he's going to want to take it back. So he happens to be Rosh Hashanah Yochid. He sees that he eyes a beautiful chafetz, beautiful cup, presumably has rights to take it. We're not talking about chas v'shalom gana for a gazan. It's his, and he wants to take it because he wants to make sure he takes it off. That's chafetz tzrichaloi zoylent rabba. And therefore, the Rebbe Koil, so bottom line is, we have two pshatim, whether it's the chafetz that he needs because, as Mendy says, we need the water, so he needs the cup, or these are special chafetzim that he requires because it's very dear and precious. So therefore, even the Rebbe would agree, don't drink unless roishe verubai in the other rishos. Iboilu, ikarmelis mai. Our Mishnah said, "Layamad Adam Rishus Yachid, Rishish Rishus Adam, Rishus Adam, Rishish Rishus Yachid." What happens if he's standing in a carmelis and he's drinking from the other side? Do I have the same concern? Amr Rabbi, yes, he. It's exactly the same concern that he might take the chayfets over from Rishus to Rishus. Amr Rava, you are really pushing the envelope, Abaye. He goofa gzeira vananekim and igz gzeira. Because worst comes to worst comes to worst. If Chas V'Shalom he'll be over and he'll take the chayfets from Rosh Hashanah to the Carmelis, he'll be over only in Issa D'Rabbanan. It's not Issa D'Raisa, Carmelis is Issa D'Rabbanan. So I have to go and make now a gzeira and say, make sure Rosh Hashanah, because if not Rosh Hashanah, you might come to go and take the chayfets over from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. Come on. Isn't that really pushing it? After all, it's exhale, exhale. Omer Abayis Abayis said, Rava, what you're saying makes sense, but I'll bring you a rye, no, I'm in a look. Meditoni, it says at the end of the Mishnah, Bechein Begas, also in the wine press. And you remember, when we learned it in the Mishnah, we said the Gemara is going to have two pshat. So what's the pshat of Abayis Bechein Begas? Says Tap Rashi, if the Gas is talking about your normal, regular Rishus HaYachid, then why is the Mishnah repeating the halacha twice? Don't stand in Rishus HaYachid unless Roisha Verubai. Don't stand in the Gas unless Roisha Verubai. Aren't we saying the same thing twice? Elamai must be talking about that the Gas didn't have a status of a Rishus HaRab or Rishus HaYachid, but it was a Carmelis. How could it be a Carmelis? Says Rashi, you go in Sheina Gavoya Yud. The roof of the press was very low, and therefore you didn't have a shear of Rishus HaYachid, just a Carmelis. And therefore you see that the same halacha applies to Carmelis as well. A riot to me to Abai. Rav Amar 9, that Vachim Begas has nothing to do with Hilchis Shabbos. It has to do with Hilchis Meiser, Linyan Meiser. Now what's the Inyan Meiser? Vachim Omer Rav Sheishas, Vachim Begas, Linyan Meiser. Then now we have the Mishnah. Show Yisan Alagas, Ben Bechama, Ben Betzoinen, Upota, Divra Meir. What is this all about? As you know, normally Rabbi Yisai, in Eretz Yisrael, when you have a gemar melacha of any food item, then you have to go and give trumas to maisers. Okay, so when is wine considered to be finished? That you have to go and give trumas to maisers. Well, simply, if you already have wine that was already taken out of the bar and was put into a bottle, put into a barrel, you took it out of the wine press, you paid for it, you took it home, you want a drink now, clearly you have to go and give trumas and maestras. Gemara Malacha was all finished. Okay, but the question is, there may be interim steps where you might be chayv already too. So the Gemara is referring to a Mishnah in Masechtas Maestras, where the Mishnah tells us that it really depends on the circumstances. Assuming that the wine in the gas is already fermented and it's already drinkable, were you to go and take a cup and put it into the bar of this gas and take it outside, and you say, "Oh, Rabbi Nishlim, thank you for this beautiful, beautiful fresh wine which I just took out of the gas," and you make a bayir priya gofen, make sure you give trumas and maisris first. However, because then you're making into a kvius. Oh, I have to add one more word, and that is, Rashi says that you have to be moizig b'mayim. Taking the wine straight from the gas, it's still undrinkable. So if you were moizig it, if you added a sufficient amount of water, 2 parts to 1, 3 parts to 1, and now you made a bayir priya gofen, and make sure that you give trumas and maisers because it becomes a kvius. However, if you only drink it derech aroi, just, you just want to sip it, you just want to take a taste, but you don't really want to make up sakvius, then you don't have to go and give trumas and maestras. Now the question is, when does aroi end and keva begin? So we have a three-way machlokes over here. The person is not leaving the gas, he's staying in the gas. If you go outside of the gas and he mixed it, clearly that would be a case of kvius. Here, however, he stayed inside the gas, and he took some of the wine in the cup, and in fact, he diluted it with water. So the Tanakhama says, "Bein bechamin, bein mitzayin." It makes no difference whether you added warm water to the mix, or you added cold water to the wine. In all cases, you're potter from giving trumas and maestras, because Reb Meir holds, since you didn't take it outside, you're standing inside the press, it's still considered to be a shtias aroi, and you do not have to go and give trumas and maestras. If you look at the third line of Rashi from the top, shoyis and alagas, Oymer alagas. Oymer alagas means he's standing there in the wine press over the bar. V'shoyse, and he's drinking. The cholzman shlo yoytzir lechutz. As long as he didn't take it outside, lav shdias kevahi. It doesn't have a kvius. Upatem in a meiser. Ben shemazgi bechamin. Ben shemazgi b'tzayin. It makes no difference. He is potter. It has a din of aroy. It's a temporary drinking. It's not a kvius tikka drinking. Pot divrime. The blazer Reb Tzadik says in the Mishnah Mechayiv. Says Rashi Mechayiv b'mezika shemoizgi b'mayim. If he mixes it, he dilutes it with water. B'shavu lekeva. Just the fact. If he just wanted to taste it and see, is this wine already a good quality fermented wine, he wouldn't have added water. The fact that he added water, that already gives it a sense of kvius. You have to go and give trumas and maizes even inside the gas. Chachom and Chachom say, it depends. Al chamin, he's chayiv. Chamin means he added warm water, he's chayiv. But the tzoynon, if he added cold water, he's potter. Why? Nishemachzer es hamoisim. If it happens to be warm water, the person who's in charge of the gas, after this person sips from the wine, and he says, you know what, I drank it, it's taka very good, but I don't need any more, I'm afraid of getting intoxicated, I want to return the remainder to the bar. Nobody's going to allow him to return the remainder to the bar, because the warm water is going to spoil the wine and the fermentation. However, if he goes and mixes it with tzoynon, then he's part of him giving trumas and maisers. Why? Neshemachzer some maiser. He's not trying it out, he's sipping it, but whatever is left over, he's going to go and pour back into the press. So therefore, Zokta Gemara, if he's taking it out, chamin means it's permanent, he's not going to pour it back. The wine press owner won't allow him to go and pour it back in. So therefore, that's a permanent mixer, a permanent dilution, permanent drinking. So that's called chayiv. It's called keva, and you have to go and give maisers, trumas and maisers. Mashenkin legabi the tzoynon, since he's going to put it back, that's still considered to be aroy. So that's a three-way machlekes. Now, what does that have to do with our Mishnah? So says Rashi, the v'chein v'gas is going back on Reb Meir. Reb Meir, remember, said he was the first man. The Amri says it makes no difference how much you dilute it, as long as you don't take it outside. It's a shtias aroi, and you're part of trumas and maisers. Our Mishnah goes and modifies Reb Meir a little bit. If you look at the last three lines of the Rashi before, it says masnisen. See, Rashi says masnisen about a quarter down the Amud. Three lines before, it says Rashi v'chein begas Reb Meir uktani lo yamid al gabi karka v'yishne begas. So now we're modifying Reb Meir slightly. Reb Meir, when he says you took it out of the wine press, it's a kvias, you have to give trumas and maisers for sure. What our Mishnah says is that even according to Reb Meir, you can be standing inside the gas and be chayv trumas and maisers. That the Reb Meir said that your potter is only if you're hichnes roisha verubalagas. You're standing 60% of your body is bent over the bar inside the gas. So therefore, it's as if you're in the gas. By the way, be careful that you don't fall in, because chas v'shem, you could drown in all of this wine. But the point is that most of your body weight is over the gas. What's the halach in such a case? Then your potter. So therefore, getting back to our Mishnah, V'chein Gas has nothing to do with Hilchas Shabbos, like Abaye learned, that's trying to tell you Hilchas Karmelis. Nothing to do with that. It's coming to tell you the Gabim Maisris, as well, we have this concept of Roisha Verubai. So as a benefit of our Mishnah, the Gabi Hilchas Shabbos, we have Roisha Verubai. With the benefit of Reb Simcha Ilan, he told us before, Roisha Verubai also applies to Hilchas Sukkah. And now our Mishnah concludes, the same thing also applies to Hilchas Maisris. That if you're Roisha Verubai in the gas, it's considered to be a Shtias Aroi. You're not leaving the gas, you're there. It's a temporary situation, part of the Trumas Maisris. If you stand up and you're no longer bent over backwards over the gas, then you'd be chayv even inside the gas itself. That would already be considered a kvias. On to the next Mishnah. Zok the Mishnah vayta koilet odem min hamaschila lematem yitvachim uminatzina mikol mokim shayse. What is this all about? A maschila is a gutter. Gutter is where the waters come in from the roof, they go through the gutter, and then they are released further down so that it doesn't damage the roof. And Rashi reminds us, as Rashi says throughout the Masechta, that the Gagan in their times were those that were totally flat, and therefore if you didn't have these gutters, you'd have an accumulation of water, and that would cause leaks and cause major problems. So you have to have the gutter. Okay, so now it's Shabbos, and the person wants water to drink or to use for whatever purpose, and he's kolate. Kolate means he collects the water in a kli from this maschila, from this gutter. But, as we'll see in Yechim the Gemara momentarily, don't put the container directly under the maschila, but rather have it hanging a few tvachim away from the maschila. In other words, down below, the gutter is on the top on your roof, and from your roof to where you're standing is a foot, 2 feet, 3 feet, whatever it is. Keep your container down below and let it go and pour into the container. But don't take the container and put it all the way up, stretch your hand up and put it next to the gutter. And for that matter, don't go and put your mouth next to the gutter to drink from the gutter. Now what's the problem there? Because the maschila is top of the gag. The gag is part of the house. It all has the status of Rishus HaYochid. Okay, as long as you have your kli down below, your koilet, if it's lamata miyud tvachim, down below less than 10 tvachim, then you're okay. Why are you okay? Because the water is pouring from above, from the Rishus HaYochid, and it's going down to you. However, if you're going to allow that he's going to drink it directly, he's going to be moitzi mirishus l'rishus. So this person is standing in the Rishus HaRab. Standing in the Rishus HaRab. That's why the Mishnah says, l'mata miyotvachim, although Rashi says that in the case of the maschila, it could even be l'mala miyotvachim, ayin shem barashi. But anyway, the person is now in the Rishus HaRab, getting the water from the maschila up above. If he's going to go directly to that maschila and put the cup there, he's standing in Rishus HaRab, or if he's going to drink from there, he's going to be moitzim Rishus l'Rishus, from the Rishus HaYochid of the maschila. Maschila is, so Rashi is going to, we're going to see in the Gemara and the Rashi, that the maschila was typically within 3 tvachim from the gag, from the roof. Since it's within 3 tvachim, based on the concept of lovud, it's as if you're drinking from the roof itself, and the roof is Rishus HaYochid, you're standing Rishus HaRabim, you're transferring Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. So therefore you can be kolate, but do not drink. Do not be mitzarif, like we'll see in the Gemara. Umiratzinor, however, if you're not talking about the actual gutter, but you're talking about a drain pipe, the drain pipe is different than the maschila, in the sense, says Rashi, that it extends into the Rishus HaRabim from the gag, usually more than 3 tefachim, since it's now in the Rishus HaRabim airspace, it has a din of Rishus HaRabim. Ah, so therefore, Menatzinor, Mikol Mokim Shoyse. Mikol Mokim means not only can he go and take his container to go and get the water, but he can even drink directly from the Tzinor itself, because since the pipe is leaning down, extending down into Lamatam Yutvachim, into Rishus HaRabim, even if he were to drink directly from it, he's fine, because the Tzinor is in Rishus HaRabim, he's in Rishus HaRabim, so he's not being moitzi mirishus lirishus. It'll get clear as we go through the Gemara. Zukti Gemara, again back to the maschila case, coil it in. You're allowed to go and collect the water in a kli from down below. Av mitzaref lo. Rashi says mitzaref means either to put your mouth or your kli directly underneath the maschila, directly underneath the gutter. That would be prohibited. My time, it says Gemara, what's wrong? Amar Nachman hachem maschila, which is pachas migimu samach legag askinan. The maschila is very, very close to the gag, to the roof. It doesn't extend further down. It's close to the top. It's within 3 tefachim. Pachas migimu samach legag gag dami. It's like the gag itself. And since the gag itself is in Rishus HaYochid, and you're standing Rishus HaRabim, if you were to go and drink directly from it, you're being moitzi Rishus Rishus. Tani Ami Hochi, Ataka Rai from a Braisa, Oymed Odom Rishus HaYochid, Magbi Yodol Lamal Me'asar Tvachim. If you're standing Rishus HaYochid, you pick your hands up. Lepocha Yis Mishloi Shesomach Lagag, you're close within 3 tvachim next to the gag, but koilate, you can go and collect it. Ubavad Shaloi Yitzarif, but don't go and put it directly underneath it. Like we said before. Tani idach lo yamid odu b'shus yachad v'yibiyah. Now you're wondering, if he's sitting with b'shus yachad, what's the problem? The problem is if there is water that goes from the gag through the b'shus rabim into the b'shus yachad, and therefore you have the problem of potentially going from b'shus to b'shus. However, continues the more tani amihachi. Don't get too close to the roof and drink directly from the gutter, or collect the water directly from the gutter. You can allow the water to go and drip down and collect it from down below. But that's only the gabi, the maschil, the gabi, the gutter. Men ha tzinor. Tzinor means the drain pipe. Mikol mokim shoyis. Mikol mokim means either way. He can be kolate or mitzaref. We learned in the brayse miyesh betzinor dalar al dalar. If the tzinor happens to be a very wide pipe, wide so that it's 4x4 tvachim aser, mishu can wait some reshus, because now it becomes a reshus on its own. The reason why minatzinor you were able to go and drink because you were standing down below, either reshus yachad or reshus ram, and you're drinking directly from the tzinor, that's okay. However, if you're talking about that the tzinor itself is 4x4, it's a separate reshus yachad b'fnei atzmai. So if you're standing in reshus rabim, drinking from the reshus yachad, again you'd be moitzim reshus to reshus, and you have the same issue as you had before by the maschil. Zok the Mishnah. Bar reshus rabim v'chol yasei gavoya yud tvachim. Chaloin shal gabim memalin heimenu b'shabbos. You open up your window on the second floor of your house, you look down and you see, wow, what a find. Right next to the window in the ground, there is a bar. The bar is cistern full of water. And it has a chulia. Chulia means that it has a room and a room surrounding the bar. On the ground, you have, if you will, an embankment, where that embankment, according to the Pashup Shat in the Mishnah, is itself 10 tfachim tall. So you're in the bar, not you're in the bar, you're in the house, and you're leaning out from your chaloin. You can easily go and lower your bucket into the bar to bring the water up. So the Mishnah says, Bar b'shus rabim, v'chol yasei gavoya yud tvachim. Make sure that the chulia, that embankment around the bar is 10 tvachim tall. So therefore the bar and the chulia have a definite status of a reshus ha-yachid. Chaloin shal gabav, I'm also in my reshus ha-yachid. I'm in my house. I have my chaloin, which is al gabav, which when I open up the window, it's right over the bar. Memal lemenu b'shabbos, you're allowed to go and be memala and go and fill it up on Shabbos. The reason why you're allowed to memala on Shabbos is because I'm in reshus ha-yachid. The water is reshus ha-yachid, so I'm drawing from reshus ha-yachid to the reshus ha-yachid. What about the fact that there is reshus ha-rabim be'emtza? We're going to talk about that momentarily in the Gemara. And now the Gemara says the reverse is also true. What happens if you have an ashpa reshus rabim? Ashpa, of course, is a garbage dump. And that's gevoya yud tvachim. It's 10 tvachim tall. And chaloin shel gabav, I open my window and instead of seeing fresh water, I see a garbage dump. I probably close the window all the time not to have to have the terrible stench. But lemaisa, there's an ashpa there. So chaloin shel gabav, shoichim letoichim ayim b'shabbos. If I want, I can go and spill out sewage onto that garbage dump in Shabbos. So the first case of the Mishnah was to go and be mala the good water, and the second case, the ashpa, is to go and throw out the bad. So Zok Yimar, but Maya Skinan, give me more information. What are we talking about? Ilay Mismucha, if you're telling me that, for instance, in the case of the Reisha, that the bar is right outside his window, it's next to the house, so Lomali Chul Yud, why do I have to have that? There should be an embankment where the chulia is 10 tvachim tall. Why not they just simply say that the chulia, that the bar, a standard normal bar, is 10 tvachim deep? So therefore, I'm allowed to go and draw the water because the bar is a reshus ha-yachid. I'm standing reshus ha-yachid. I'm directly over the reshus ha-yachid. And the avir over the reshus ha-yachid also has a din of either reshus ha-yachid or makom ptur. So what's the problem? Avad is a chadov poshut, I can go and draw the water. It's talking about that in fact the bar was not next to the wall mamish, there was four tvachim in between. Ah, and therefore it's tafka because the chulia happens to be 10 tall. Halakha chul yasar, but if he didn't have 10 tall, come etaltal mishusiyachal, mishusiyachal, derech rishusarabim. I'd have a big problem if he didn't have this tall chulia. So since from my window to the bar is 4 tvachim, so then my bucket has to do some walking, so to speak, from the chaloin till the bar. That walking is going through the shusarabim. Oh, then you'd be metalter shusyachim there shusarabim, and that would be, at least be aser derabanan, perhaps even deraisa. And therefore, that's why it's got to be that the chuli is asara. So how does that help that the chuli is asara? By the fact that the chuli is asara means that I can drop from my window straight into that embankment of the 10 tvachim tall. I don't have to have it dangle first in the shusarabim. In the sense, I can go and throw it directly into the Rishus HaYachid where the Chuli is coming up. So I avoid the Rishus HaRabim B'Emtza, because everything above the Chuli is also going to be Rishus HaYachid. So Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaYachid, and it's Kusher, that's why it's permissible. But that's because they have this Chuli sticking up. You can also say that it's talking about that it's right next to the wall. So what's the Chiddush of the Mishnah? Kamashmul and the Bar B'Chul Yosem, it's Tarif L'Asara. Ah, when we learned the Mishnah initially, we assumed that the Chuli Yosei Gvoi Yutvachim, that the Chuli itself is 10 Tvachim Tuol, which is a simple pshat in the Mishnah. Says Rabbi Yochanan, no. The Chiddush of the Mishnah is that the Bar V'Chuli Yosei together are Gvoi Yutvachim, not that the Chuli on its own is Gvoi Yutvachim. Therefore, you have to read the Mishnah, Bar Rishus Ram V'Chuli Yosei, together as one entity are Gvoi Yutvachim. Remember, we had a shaila about that earlier on in Gemara about Daf Ayin Ches, whether a chulia and a bar are mitztaref la'asara. So, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we'd have a rai from a Mishnah that it's talking about the bar and the chulia together. They create, in other words, let's assume that the depth of the cistern of the bar was 6 tvachim deep, and the chulia was 4 tvachim tall. You add 4 to 6, you get 10 altogether, it becomes a full fledged. You can go and pour stuff out onto the Yashba. Don't you think that from time to time people have a tendency of removing some of the Ashba? And therefore the Ashba might now no longer be 10 Tvachim Tor like it's been now for the last week or two. Maybe now it's down to 9 Tvachim Tor. So I might be transferring from Rishus HaYachid to a Karmelis. So Freiti Gemara, aren't you concerned, Shemitinot al-Ashba? And so you're going to tell me, nah, this Ashba has been here for the last 100 years. V'rovim barav ada, omrev Yitzchak, ma'as b'movi echad, shetzili echad kol liyam, shetzili echad kol liyashba. We had this Gemara earlier on in our Masechta, towards the beginning on Daf Ches. What was the case of that he had a movi? And the movi was a movi which was sosum, but not your normal cul-de-sac, like we normally have in the city where you have one of these dead-end streets, but rather you had Tzili Echad Kol Liyam. One side of the Movi ended up on the seashore, Tzili Echad Kol Liyashba, and the other side, it ended up on a garbage dump. Yeah, we sound like a garbage dump there in the back. So you have a Kol Liyam on one side, Ashba the other side, so therefore the Chayra, the Movi is nicely enclosed, and he had, of course, an opening somewhere, otherwise people couldn't get in and out of the Mavui. Rabbi did not want to be matir nor aser putting up a lechi or koira to be able to carry in this Mavui. Why not? Because you know what might happen? Circumstances could change that the Ashba might be removed, either the whole Ashba or part of the Ashba. So it's no longer 10 Tvachim tall, so it's no longer a halachic wall. And V'yala Yam Sirtin. Sirtin means the sediment at the bottom of the sea might come up and might go and cause the sea wall that is currently there no longer to be a sea wall of 10 Tvachim tall, because the sirtin, the sediment, might attach itself to the wall will become a sloping wall, and it will not be a wall any longer for our purposes, and therefore I'm going to have an open movi on both sides. And therefore, although this didn't happen yet, Rebbe said this might happen, chayshinan shemitinot al-ashvi yala yam sirtin. But I can't say it's aser. Because l'maisa there are mechitzas on both sides. At this moment, basher husham, there are mechitzas. but they might be taken away. So therefore, Rebbe was looking ahead and said, yes, for this Shabbos I can be matir, but then I'm going to go away this Shabbos and I'm going to go somewhere else, and the next Shabbos part of the Ashba will recede, or the Yam is going to develop the sediment, and everybody will say, don't be frumer than Rebbe. Rebbe was Rebbe Yehuda Nossi. He was the one that codified the Mishnayos. He was the Gadol Hador. If he said it was kosher, it's kosher. But of course, circumstances can change. And that's why Le'omba Be'heta Le'omba Be'isa. So the same thing applies in our Mishnah too. How is our Mishnah allowing you to go and pour out the sewage or the waste on top of the Ashba? At the moment it's your Tvachim, but maybe next week it's only going to be 9 Tvachim or 8 Tvachim, etc. Everything had the yachid had the rabbim. It depends whether this is a private ashba or it's ashba the rabbim. If it's an ashba the yachid, you have to be worried that in fact the yachid is going to cart away some of the ashba from time to time, because you don't want a garbage dump just accumulating forever. So the yachid might take some of it away. But if you're talking about rabbim, we know the famous rule that the Gemara says that kedera de beshitvi loy kariri v'loy chamimi. If you have a pot where you have two chefs in the kitchen, both of them are in charge of heating up and warming up the food, guess what? You'll come back an hour later and you'll find that it's still cold. Why is it still cold? Because each one points to the other one. I thought Nancy's going to do it. No, I thought Sally is going to do it. So if you have kedera that belongs to two shutfim, like kariv lechamimi, it's not going to be cold. It's not going to be hot. Because it's just going to stay there, nobody's going to do anything with it, always relying on the other person. It's the same thing if you have ashba derabim, why should I take it away? And it's not the cleanest business, taking away sanitation. That's why they don't call the sanitation workers garbage workers, because who wants to be a garbage worker?
Engineer.
Sanitation worker, a sanitation worker. So the same thing is, by rabim in a chanami, you don't have to worry about it. And our mission is talking about that this was an ashba derabim, it was an ashba bidrishus derabim, nobody's going to take it away. This ashba is going to stay here for 10 years. For 20 years, nobody's going to touch it. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi. Say any questions? Hearing none, Amir Hashem. Remember, tomorrow is Rish Chodesh. We're officially calling the shiur for 7:50. Do not be shocked if we only start at 7:52 or 7:55, depending how quickly things go. Have a beautiful day. Zayge Ben Shatzlach.